Hi, I'm Kathy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kathy.
It's so wonderful to be here, and it's a real blessing. It's just a really big blessing. Let me try and get a little bit organized here. So, welcome to the Love Thy Neighbor workshop. Why don't we start by saying the Serenity Prayer together? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Will somebody please read the anonymity statement that I have here? Volunteer. That's not it. There it is.
Anonymity, like our abstinence, is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing the press or broadcast media, in protecting the anonymity of all members present or mentioned here today. We hope you hear something at this meeting which you will take away and use. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous and that no unauthorized photos be taken. This session is being taped and will not be edited. To be anonymous, you should use a fictitious name. If you come to the microphone to speak at any time during the weekend in this session that is being recorded, please sign the release form located at the registration table. Two CADRs, OA members associated with related anonymous programs, are asked to speak only to their personal recovery as an OA member at OA functions to avoid implying endorsement of an outside enterprise. Thank you.
Thank you, Juliet. Would someone please read the crosstalk statement?
My name is Elsa, and I'm a compulsive reader, food addict, bulimic.
Hi, Elsa.
Crosstalk statement. Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. Crosstalk during an OA meeting is giving advice to others who have already shared, speaking directly to another person rather than to the group, and questioning or interrupting the person speaking or sharing at this time.
Thanks, Elsa. Will someone please read the Unity with Diversity statement?
Hi, I'm Eileen. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Eileen.
As we extend the heart and hand of fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's Unity with Diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any compulsive eaters here besides myself?
Thank you, Eileen. All right. So, again, I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater. And as God is so good to do, in choosing the Love Thy Neighbor workshop, there were several incidences that came to pass the past few weeks that gave me good material, I felt, for this workshop, having to do with my actual next-door neighbors. But I was also thinking last night about what does it mean, like, who is my neighbor? And I was making a few notes, and what I think I came to is that anyone who is not me is my neighbor. So it could be coworkers, it could be my daughter's 10-year-old friends, they're neighbors, right? Anyone and everyone who is not Kathy is my neighbor. So I'm just going to share. I sort of prayed last night and I went through some literature, and it's kind of a selfish workshop because it's sort of what I need to be doing in my life right now to stay sane. Another thing that struck me is that when I was a single person, it was a lot easier to love my neighbor because if I got into difficulty, it only had to do with that person and me. Now, with a husband and two children, I have to love my neighbor as it relates to them or to my two children. And so things are a lot more complex right now. And in fact, it's not usually my hurts these days don't mostly have to do with things related to how someone treats me as much as how somebody's treating, all my loved ones. So, what does it mean to love thy neighbor? I wrote down, it's easy to love the lovable, but how do we love the unlovable, the difficult, the hard? The two incidents, we have two neighbors, and on the one side, we got a little note in the mailbox. Actually, it was quite a lengthy note in the mailbox about our next door neighbor's upset with our dog barking. We bought my 10-year-old a dog, and it's almost like a service dog to her. She has she's autistic. We just found out a few months ago, and this dog is her life. I mean, it is a blessing like no other, and sure enough, we came home the other day and there was a note in our mailbox about Stella the dog. And the other fun piece of this is that we have bears in the yard. So our dog has been barking at the bears, which is a normal dog response, right? So we're thinking, well, what do? We kind of want to know when there's a bear in the yard that might want to eat one of our kids. It's just really kind of a complex situation. So anyway, I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs of this situation, but suffice it to say, my husband and I ranted for a couple days. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and blah, 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 blah. And I can't wait to do this. You know, we really wanted to retaliate. When all was said and done, we prayed about it, and we realized the best way to treat this is with kindness and with love. And so we did, in fact, have a conversation with them. We will do our best to keep our dog in. And I'm bringing up this story because in my world, and I don't know about for anyone else, but for me, kindness is the only thing that gives me peace. Even if it's a justified anger, just like I think we're pretty justified that our dog barks at the bears, right? And we did tell them, look, we're going to let her bark at the bears, but we'll try and contain it if that's not the case. But in my world, even if I'm justified, whenever I retaliate with unkind words, it just never works out. That's for me. I think as an addict, I am ultra sensitive and I need to be able to sleep as much as I can at night. You know, one of my litmus tests that I'm sure all of you know about is, can you walk down the street and look someone in the eye? And I felt like our neighbors, I mean, we literally share, you know, our fence, we share property. And I thought, gosh, if I'm out gardening, what's it going to be like if I'm an enemy with my neighbor? That's going to be no fun, you know? So anyway, there's that neighbor incident that happened. And I'm very happy how we handled that. I'm thankful that God has given me the ability to pause before rushing headlong into, I'm going to call him right now and I'm just going to tell him, you know, Stella's going to bark and I don't care about you and all this kind of stuff. So I'm thankful for that pause. That's where my recovery is. It's in the pause. The other incident was that I was in our bedroom one day, just, you know, getting dressed and stuff, and I heard the screaming out the window, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is it the dog again? Are they screaming at the dog? But it was from our other neighbors. So I just sat down and I listened, and it just really ripped my heart out. It was our neighbors and their teenage daughter, who we have surmised is going through addiction, and they were out in their driveway, and apparently the father was trying to get her in the car and take her to treatment because she was screaming at the top of her lungs, don't make me go back there, don't make me go back there. So I called my husband in, and we listened for a bit, and I'm a person who likes to charge in when you guys are having problems and like take care of you, you know, and like if I see someone off the side of the freeway, I'm going to stop my car and run over. I'm just that way. So of course I'm wanting to run over there. And he said, It could possibly be domestic violence. You don't want to get involved. But what we were able to do is we were able to sit and pray for them. And since that happened, I've just prayed for the opportunity to talk with them. If it comes up, you know, it may not come up, but the point is it really isn't my business, even though I want to make it my business, and I can still love them from a distance. I don't have to be in their face like, oh, I'm an addict too, and I know all about it, and this is what you need to do, and, you know, so again, it was taking that pause to, before I reacted and went and made a big fool of myself and got entangled in something that's really none of my business. At the same time, my heart is breaking, and I do trust that the time will come when God will provide that opportunity to maybe talk with them. So those are two very concrete, tangible examples of loving my neighbor in the past couple weeks. It's in the book, big book somewhere, and I could not find it. Maybe it's in the 12 and 12. I don't know. But it's something that I say to myself all the time, and it makes my life manageable. And it's something, I think it was Bill W. said, we, as much as possible, we try to live at peace with all men. And I think about that all the time, because again, my natural propensity as an addict is towards drama, towards pushing back, towards, I don't like to be hurt, you know, and which brings me to loving neighbors that aren't necessarily living next door to me. So the hardest place this has been for me is with my daughter. She's 10. As I said, she was just diagnosed with autism not long ago. And she does not understand social cues. And so children are mean to her. And it is heartbreaking. I never knew how much your heart could break until I parented this child. And I'm not kidding. I've probably been angrier at these 10-year-old girls than I ever have at anyone my age, like in my whole life. And so this is a real season for me of having to pause a lot. And I will tell you, a couple weeks ago, I lost it. And I was in the car and I just lost it in front of my daughter. And I'm like, this is so wrong. I just don't want you to have to endure this anymore. I'm going to homeschool you. And then I came to my senses, and I may end up homeschooling her. I don't know. But it wasn't a good thing to lose my temper in front of my daughter. And so I'm really having to take the pause, and I'm really having to pray for her friends. They're spiritually sick, right? We all know that. In fact, I'm going to do a little bit of reading from the big book. But the only way I can love my neighbor is to realize that they are imperfect, just like me, right? Loving my neighbor could have to do with road rage. They're my neighbors, all those drivers out there. I'm not prone to road rage, but I know if someone cuts me off, I immediately forgive them. I'm like, no big deal. I probably cut someone off yesterday. So it's all about, for me and my program, of recognizing that we are all imperfect beings. Some of us are sicker than others. Some of us are more mature than others. And that goes for 10-year-olds too, you know. An amazing thing to me, this kind of to me speaks like, wow, maybe I do have a little bit of recovery, is that I'm very close friends with a lot of the moms of these girls that are mean to my girl. And if I didn't have recovery, I just hate them all. You know, I just hate every one of them. So I'm thankful for that. I can separate it out, and that's a blessing. Let's see here. Pausing before confrontation. Can I walk down the street, see this person, and smile and not be embarrassed? I'm going to read a little bit from the AA Big Book about loving. These were passages that stuck out at me about loving thy neighbor. And let's see here. I think I'll start with this one. Page 66 at the top. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. Okay, and now moving down, actually moving over to page 67, the top of the page. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. So that brings me to social media. So I'm pretty passionate in my political convictions and in my faith. And I won't mention the name of the social app that I'm talking about, but there's a certain one where a lot of stuff is spewed from all sides. And after many times of being burned, I've decided... First, I thought I'll swear off. I'm just not going to be on this app ever, you know, kind of that sort of thing. And then I decided I just simply cannot afford to spout off my views on this particular social app. I love it because I keep in touch with my friends. We have a real tight-knit community, even some OA friends I keep in touch with. But it's very dangerous for me. And, you know, it's like there's so many things I've wished I could do like a normie, right? One of them is posting my opinions on this application. Why can't I do that? Why can't I just be, you know, political and all this stuff? And the fact is, it's because it disrupts my peace. It makes me want to eat. It makes me stay up all night. It makes me insecure and will this person hate it? I have this one friend in San Francisco and we're polar opposites and he's always taking me to task and it's just awful. So I've decided at this point in my life, it's foolishness. It's not worth it. And like I said earlier, there's a lot of reasons to be angry in the world, a lot of reasons to be hurt, a lot of reasons to be vocal. And as an addict, I just simply can't, because I need to live at peace with all men, even the ones that I hate, even the ones that I feel I should hate. I need to even pray for those if I'm going to have any peace in my life. So let's see here what else I have marked out. Freedom from bondage. One of the best stories in the big book. Love it. Page 551. Let's see here. Here it is. Let's start. I've had many spiritual experiences. First paragraph. I've had many spiritual experiences since I've been in the program, many that I didn't recognize right away, for I am slow to learn and they take many guises. But one was so outstanding that I like to pass it on whenever I can in the hope that it will help someone else as it has me. As I said earlier, self-pity and resentment were my constant companions, and my inventory began to look like a 33-year diary, for I seemed to have a resentment against everybody I had ever known. All but one responded to the treatment suggested in the steps immediately, but this one posed a problem. This resentment was against my mother, and it was 25 years old. I had fed it, fanned it, nurtured it as one might a delicate child, and it had become as much a part of me as my breathing. It had provided me with excuses for my lack of education, my marital failures, personal failures, inadequacy, and of course, my alcoholism. And though I really thought I had been willing to part with it, now I knew I was reluctant to let it go. How many minutes is that? 20. That's 20? Okay. One morning, however, I realized I had to get rid of it, for my reprieve was running out, and if I didn't get rid of it, I was going to get drunk, and I didn't want to get drunk anymore. In my prayers that morning, I asked God to point out to me some way to be free of this resentment. During the day, a friend of mine brought me some magazines to take to a hospital group I was interested in. I looked through them. A banner across one featured an article by a prominent clergyman in which I caught the word resentment. He said, in effect, if you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you will pray for the person or the thing that you resent, you will be free. If you will ask in prayer for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, you will be free. Ask for their health, their prosperity, their happiness, and you will be free. Even when you don't really want it for them and your prayers are only words and you don't mean it, go ahead and do it anyway. Do it every day for 2 weeks and you will find you have come to mean it and to want it for them, and you will realize that where you used to feel bitterness and resentment and hatred, you will now feel compassionate understanding and love. So with that, I'm going to pass out an exercise we're going to do. Okay, so everybody has one? We're just going to go through this and take about 12 minutes total. So we'll start. Number one, think of three people in your life who are easy to love. List each one and two or three things that you love about them. Are we just about there, finishing up? Okay, we'll go on to number two. Think of three people in your life who are difficult to love. Much like an inventory, list them and one or two examples of why they are difficult. Okay, we about finished with that. So, think about your life as it is and the things you most wish for, hope for, and pray for yourself. List at least five of these things. All right, so now from your difficult list in question number two, pick one person from that list. I'm going to humbly suggest you pick the most difficult one. And we are going to commit to pray for them right now. I'm going to put on some music and we're going to do a short meditation. So all of the things that you wrote down about your life that you want for yourself, you're going to think about those five things. And as we begin to pray and meditate, and however you guys want to do it, you can go to your happy place, visualization. If you want to have a conversation with them as you're praying, that's fine. Or just you want to visualize them, you know, surrounded by light and love and all those things you want. So I have picked out some music and I hope we can all hear it. So go ahead and write that person's name down. And go ahead and tell them or pray the last few things that you would like to say to them. And then when you're ready, just open your eyes. And if you'd like, you can take a few minutes or a couple minutes recording your feelings after this short meditation. And if something came up that maybe you learned about them or your relationship, you can write that down. So go ahead and take a minute. I want you to think about if you're willing to commit to praying for this person for the next 2 weeks every day. And what I'd like to suggest is that you take your sheet home, and you know who your person is, and then at the end of 2 weeks, this last little entry here, record how you feel about them after praying. Are things better between you? Do you have a miracle to share? And if you do have a miracle, or even if you don't, even if there's just a little bit of improvement, I'd encourage you to tell your meeting to show up and talk about that. You know, I think that a lot of program sometimes can feel very nefarious and like, how does this all work? But if we look at the big book, there are concrete suggestions. And to me, this is one of the most concrete. Literally pray for someone for 2 weeks and see what happens. So I'm going to do it. I have a person and I'm going to be doing it. And I'm hoping that you guys will do it too, because I believe we will all have an amazing experience with it. I only have a couple more minutes, and I did want to get to this reading in the 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, because it's very meaningful to me. It's page 92, step 10. Step 10 is a really good way to continue loving your neighbor, because it will help you look every day at the resentments that crop up often, at least in my life. I'm sure not in yours, but in mine. So I love this paragraph. It begins page 92, halfway down. Finally, we begin to see that all people, including ourselves, are to some extent emotionally ill, as well as frequently wrong. And then we approach true tolerance and see what real love for our fellows actually means. It will become more and more evident as we go forward that it is pointless to become angry. Isn't that freeing? That's so freeing for me. I don't quite have it with my husband yet, but with other people. Pointless to become angry or to get hurt by people who, like us, are suffering from the pains of growing up. Such a radical change in our outlook will take time, maybe a lot of time. Not many people can truthfully assert that they love everybody. Most of us must admit that we have loved but a few, that we have been quite indifferent to the many so long as none of them gave us trouble. And as for the remainder, well, we have really disliked or hated them. Although these attitudes are common enough, we AAs find we need something much better in order to keep our balance. We can't stand it if we hate deeply. The idea that we can be possessively loving of a few, can ignore the many, and can continue to fear or hate anybody has to be abandoned, if only a little at a time. We can try to stop making unreasonable demands upon those we love. We can show kindness where we had shown none. With those we dislike, we can begin to practice justice and courtesy, perhaps going out of our way to understand and help them. Whenever we fail any of these people, we can promptly admit it, to ourselves always, and to them also, when the admission would be helpful. courtesy, kindness, justice, and love are the keynotes by which we may come into harmony with practically anybody. When in doubt, we can always pause, saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." And we can ask often of ourselves, "Am I doing to others as I would have them do to me today?" Love that. I think my time is almost up. 3 minutes. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the peace prayer from St. Francis that we often say at meetings. So what I think I'd like to do to close is I'm going to go ahead and start the prayer, and I'm going to say a couple lines and then just have you guys repeat after me. Okay? So I would say we joined hands, but I guess we'll just do it sitting like this. You can join a hand or hold a shoulder if you'd like, somebody around you, or just extend your hand outward. Again, a couple deep breaths. The peace prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Let's just repeat that. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon.
Where there is injury, pardon.
Where there is error, the truth.
Where there is error, the truth.
Where there is doubt, faith.
Where there is doubt, faith.
Where there is despair, hope.
Where there is despair, hope.
Where there is darkness, light.
Where there is darkness, light.
And where there is sadness, joy.
And where there is sadness, joy.
O Divine Master.
O Divine Master.
Grant that I may not so much seek.
Grant that I may not so much seek.
To be consoled as to console.
To be consoled as to console.
To be understood as to understand.
To be understood as to understand.
To be loved as to love.
To be loved as to love.
For it is in giving that we receive.
For it is in giving that we receive.
It is in pardoning that we are pardoned.
It is in pardoning that we are pardoned.
And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.